Well, I want you to turn with me once again this morning to John's Gospel, the 6th chapter. We're going to conclude this morning this series that we've been meditating upon, these messages on what God is like, and also going to conclude this message that we began last Sunday morning, John 6:37. That says something to us about the Lord and His welcome. This verse lets us look into His heart. And this verse as a whole says something to us about the welcome of our Lord. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. All, not some, not most, not a lot, but all, every one that the Father giveth. Doesn't barter, doesn't trade, is not swap shop. No, the Father giveth. The Father giveth me shall come. There's certainty to it. It's not a possibility. It's not a maybe so thing. No, all that the Father giveth, Christ says, shall come to me, to Christ Himself. Him, the one given by the Father, shall come, will come, oh my. And Christ says, I will in no wise cast out. I'll never ever do it. It's not an ever even a possibility that I would ever turn away or cast them out. I will ever welcome them unto myself. This whole verse says something to us about His welcome. And then last Sunday we broke the verse down into two key parts. There is this presentation. The Father, from before the foundation of the world, made a choice of a gift, and has given that gift unto His Son. This is God's will. This is God's design. Those given to the Son will come. They shall come. That's the presentation. Then there's the promise that the Lord Himself makes. Now, I sometimes make promises. You sometimes make promises, but we don't always keep them. Sometimes we break them just because we're not able to fulfill. Sometimes we do it on purpose, but you mark it down. The promises of God are yea and amen. And Christ makes a promise in this verse, that all that the Father gives and all that come, He will receive. He will in no wise, no way, no shape, nor form cast out. He'll not put them out. Why? They're in, and they are forever in. In other words, we're not ever going to wear out our welcome with the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. Oh my. Why in the world would God set salvation up this way? Oh, it's because this is what He's like. He's a God of grace and mercy. Because the truth is, if the choice had been left to us, we'd all been left out. Oh my, if it hinged upon us, we'd all be cast out. But no, it doesn't hinge upon us. It's hinged upon the Lord Himself. Whoever you are this morning, if you will come, you will receive welcome. And if you come, you in no wise will ever, ever, ever be cast out. But to remind you what we said last Sunday, oh my, you must come for yourself. All is full. All that the Father gives shall come. But you've got to come one by one. You do come one by one. We do come one by one. You must come by yourself. But when you do, hallelujah, you find welcome. Why? This is what God is like. He is a welcoming God this morning. But what does that really, really look like? What does that look like in real life? Well, this morning I want to meditate upon some pictures of His welcome. Now, there's no way for us to look at all the encounters of our Lord. First of all, because they've all not been recorded. Even these that have been recorded, there's not enough time to survey all of these encounters, all of these welcoming experiences here in the Gospels. So we're going to limit ourselves this morning just to the Gospel of John. And I want to try to put some flesh on these welcoming times. And look at these the Lord has welcomed. Because I know it will encourage us that He welcomes us. That He'll welcome you this morning if you come. So we're going to walk through the Gospel of John this morning. Buckle up is about all I know to say to you right there. In John chapter 3, there's this man by the name of Nicodemus. He's the reluctant one. The word tells us that he's a ruler of the Jews. He's a part of the Sanhedrin, but he's not just a part of the Sanhedrin. He's a ruler amongst the Sanhedrin. Maybe think of a U.S. senator. We're not talking about a county commissioner. We're not talking about some local city council member. No, no, no. We're talking about a high-ranking official within the Sanhedrin. That's who this man Nicodemus is. He's a man of reputation. He is a man of rank. But oh my, it's clear that the Father has given him unto the Son, because it's clear the Father is drawing him unto the Son. But I say he's the reluctant because he comes by night. In fact, every time in the Gospels you find Nicodemus referred to, that is attached to him. This one that came by night. Maybe he's ashamed. Maybe he's not sure. He is reluctant. Oh my. But oh my, even though he's reluctant, and even though he comes under the cover of darkness, as if though darkness might hide, I remind you, God sees in the dark just like he can in the light. The darkness does not cover our sins or who we are or what we're like. But guess what? He welcomes us just as we are. And here Nicodemus comes by. He comes by night. But just because the Lord welcomes us as we are, that doesn't mean he doesn't confront us. Because you'll notice in this welcome, the Lord confronts Nicodemus with his need. You must be born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That's verse 3, verse 5. Except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Verse 7, I say unto thee, ye must be born again. And then in verse 18, after he's given that tremendous verse, verse 16, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Oh, Nicodemus wants to come. Nicodemus is being drawn to come. And Nicodemus does come, even though it's reluctantly, even though it's sheepishly. He comes and he finds welcome. Oh, he's coming though, but he's coming reluctantly. The truth is, if you read the text and you know the story well, I know, Nicodemus is hung up on the how. How? How in the world can this be so? I mean, where's it at there in verse 4? How can a man be born when he's old? How can he enter the second time in his mother's womb? Down there in verse 9, how can these things be? But remember, we're looking at what God is like. He's the one that is meek and lowly in heart. Oh, the Lord doesn't cast him away and say, get out of here till you can figure that out. No, no, no. The Lord doesn't want Nicodemus focused on the how. The Lord wants Nicodemus focused on the who, on him, and simply believe in the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Oh, my, here this morning, neither Nicodemus nor you today need to get hung up on the how. Simply believe, simply believe, simply believe. And oh my, in just 27 words, in just 27 words, one of the greatest statements our Lord gives is in John 3:16. But that seems like too hard for some to grasp. So break down. Break down those 27 words this morning. God loves, God gave, we believe, we live. That's how simple, that's what God was saying to Nicodemus. Nicodemus, I know you don't understand everything. Nicodemus, you don't have all the answers. Listen, God is saying, Nicodemus, you just believe me. You just believe me. He is welcome. He is welcomed by the Lord. Why? That's what God is like this morning. And if you're here and you listen this morning, oh man, you don't have it figured out, you come to Christ anyhow. He will in no wise cast you out. He will welcome you unto himself. But Nicodemus is the reluctant one. Because I remind you in John 3, we don't have a record of Nicodemus making a confession. In John 3, we don't have a record of Nicodemus believing. Now a little bit later on over yonder in chapter 7, he is going to speak up for the Lord and say that everyone deserves a hearing. In fact, the rest of that crowd's going to turn on Nicodemus and say, why, you one of them Galileans too? Oh man, there's still some reluctance there. But when we get to John 19, reluctance is gone. For Nicodemus is willing to come with Joseph of Arimathea and take down the body of our Lord. And Nicodemus brings 100 pounds of myrrh and aloes. Reluctance is gone. You all know why. He found a welcome. He found a welcome. He found a welcome in the Lord this morning. Oh, my, 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 my. Now in John 4, we go to the other end of the spectrum. In John 3, we're with the respectable. But in John 4, we find ourselves looking at the rejected. I mean, we go from Jews in John 3 to Samaritans in John 4. The respected to the rejected, as I said. You know, Jesus knew Nicodemus had a reputation. He said, well, how is it you don't understand this? You're a teacher in Israel. Jesus knew Nicodemus's reputation. And it was pretty good. Jesus knows this Samaritan woman's reputation too. But guess what? The welcome is the same. He welcomes both those who come. He welcomes those who come unto him. Oh my. So here in John 4 is this Samaritan woman. She's the rejected. She's virtually rejected by everybody she's around. I mean, she's a Samaritan. So the Jews reject her and the Gentiles reject her. She's a half-breed. All the women in town reject her. That's why she's there in the middle of the day getting water. Men reject her. At least 5 men have rejected her. She's known nothing but rejection for the most part. She's certainly not known love. She's known lust. As one man comes, and then he goes, and another comes, and then he goes, one after another, come and go, come and go, come and go, come and go. But waiting on the well this day is somebody that has come to stay. And oh my, if she will but come unto him and drink of him, he'll in no wise cast her out this morning. If you feel rejected this morning, I want to tell you where you will find welcome. It is at the feet of our Lord and Savior. He's waiting there for her on purpose with a welcoming heart unto himself. Now you know the text. He's weary. He's tired from ministering. And he physically is thirsty. So he is going to ask her for drink of water. But you see, he's really there because he knows She's thirsty. She doesn't realize how thirsty she is. And she doesn't even realize what she's thirsting for. But waiting at the well was the well of living water to welcome her unto him. And oh my, she could draw from him. And because the Father was drawing her to the Son, he in no wise would cast her out, even though she has been rejected again and again and again. She finds no rejection when she comes unto him this morning. Oh my, why in the world? I mean, this woman is blown away that he would even talk to her, that he would take a drink from her. She's really blown away that he, oh my, would consider her. Why in the world would God do that? This is what God is like. He receives those the world rejects. He receives those who find no welcome in the world. In John 4, though, there's another welcoming encounter. In John 4, there's this nobleman of Capernaum. He's the royal. He's got connections. He's got wealth. He apparently had some status, some royalty, if you please, in society. But all that he has cannot do anything for his son. All the connections and all the money he has cannot save his son. And his son is at the point of death. He has surely tried all that there is to try. And his son is about to die. But he hears about the Lord. One hat is, he heard about the Lord. I said to you, from before the foundation of the world, the Father chose it, and the Father's now drawing him unto the Son. And when he comes to the Son, even though he doesn't understand, and even though he doesn't know everything, he's going to receive a welcome. Why? This is what God is like this morning. Oh my, now, don't think, by the way, down here, this question that the Lord asked in verse 47 is not a welcoming question. When the Lord says unto him there, are you just seeking a sign? Are you just seeking signs and wonders? Oh no. The Lord wants us to know that this father, this nobleman, is more concerned about his son than he is any signs. Oh my. Hear me this morning. Don't let that question in verse 48, I meant to say 48, I believe I said 47. Don't let this question make you think the Lord's not welcoming. No, the Lord wants us to know. Don't miss it. The Lord wants us to know any that come will not be turned away. So how you know, preacher? Because in verse 49, this father will not be denied. He is determined to come. He is going to come. And oh my, he said, sir, come down ere my child die. Oh my, he finds a welcome in the Lord. The Lord in no wise will cast him out. The Lord in no wise will turn him away this morning. Why? This is what God is like. And with just a word, Jesus doesn't even have to go with him. With just a word, Jesus says, your son's all right. Your son's going to live. Your son shall live. Oh my. And the Lord welcomed him with a powerful word. Oh my, the Lord can speak a powerful word unto you this morning. Why? This is what God is like. John 5, here's this impotent man. He's what I want to call the run over. Because for 38 years, the text tells us in John 5, everybody's run over him. Everybody's stepped over him. Everybody's pushed him out of the way. For the last 38 years, nobody seemingly has had time for him. Nobody's helped him into the water. Nobody's tried to help him into the water. I mean, it seems no one has a welcome for this man. But oh my, oh my, oh my, the Father has surely been drawing, because the Lord walks up and says, "Wilt thou be made whole?" And he finds welcome. Nobody else had welcomed him, but the Savior was there to welcome him that day. Oh, you may feel like nobody cares, but I want to tell you, there is somebody that cares unlike anybody. There is somebody that will welcome you with open arms if you will but come unto him this morning. Why? This is what God is like. I mean, everybody is stepping over. Everybody wishes he wasn't there. There's that same old man. He's been down there. Every time I go down the pool, he's down there. Oh my, they wish he were not a part of their world. But the Lord Jesus Christ came to him that day to make him and welcome him into his world. Oh, this is what God is like this morning. He's a welcoming God. Oh, look here in John 6. There's this hungry multitude. They're the ravenous. They've been overcome with hunger. They need food, but they don't have any money to buy food. But even if they had money, and even if they had a lot of money, there still was no place to buy food. But Isaiah tells us that this welcoming God, Isaiah tells us what God is like, and God says, "Ho, everybody, ho, oh my, you without money, you without money, you without price, come by, come by, come receive and hear this day." The Lord Jesus Christ feeds that crowd. Oh my, why? This is what God is like. He is a welcoming God. Oh my. In John 8, there's this woman caught in adultery. She's the reviled. The religious crowd has already caught her and condemned her. They have brought their stones. They are ready to execute her. That's what religion always does. Religion always catches, religion always condemns, and religion always seeks to execute. That's where this woman finds herself. I mean, none of this crowd that has drug her from the very act of adultery, they show her no kindness. They're certainly not welcoming her. And they bring her to the Lord and they cast her down. That wasn't much of a welcome from them. Oh my, but she's in the best place she could ever be on this day, for she's before the welcoming Lord of glory himself. I say that she's the reviled, but the truth is, it's not really so much her that they revile. It's really the Lord that they revile, because if you'll go home and read the chapter this afternoon, they sought to trap the Lord. And they figure, we've got him now. They figure, well, if he says stone her. When they say, didn't Moses say we're to stone these caught in adultery? They figure if Jesus says stone her, they'll run straight to the Romans and say, here's a man that's stirring up sedition. And if he says, no, don't stone her, they'll drag him before the Sanhedrin and say, here's a man that denies the law, that denies the law of God. So you know what the Lord does? He just doesn't respond with the word, but he bends over and he goes to writing. Now, I don't know what he wrote, and you don't know what he wrote, and we don't know what he said. He may have written something to them standing there with the stones. I'd say he probably did. But I think he probably also wrote a word to her. And while she's on her face, while she is cast down, oh my, she reads a word from God. And I want you to know, she gets a welcoming word from the Lord of glory. And I want to tell you, when religion had nothing for me, and when religion could do nothing for me, I'm glad I got a word. I'm glad I got a word from the Lord. Why? He's a welcoming God. This morning, oh my, Christ Christ is ready to save. He's not ready to stone her. He's ready to save. He's ready to save her. She's not got any friends there. But she does have a friend that will stick closer to her than a brother and will never cast her away. Why, this is what God is like this morning. Oh my, neither do I condemn thee. Go thy way and sin no more. You say, but preacher, doesn't the law say death is the penalty for adultery? It sure enough does. It sure enough does. And the word also says that all the wages of sin is death. All sin merits death. But standing before her was not death. Standing before her with a welcome, with a heart of welcome, is the Lord of glory. Oh my, others may reject you. Others may revile you. But there's one that will welcome you this morning. Oh my, in John 11. In John 11, here's Martha and Mary. They're the resentful. They've sent for Jesus and Jesus doesn't get there. They've been telling themselves for days. I think surely they've been telling Lazarus, as soon as Jesus gets here, he'll take care of everything. As soon as Jesus gets here, everything will be okay. As soon as Jesus gets here, you'll not die. But Jesus doesn't get there, as you know. And Lazarus dies. And they're both upset. Because the only thing they can say to the Lord when they first see him, if you'd been here, this wouldn't happen the way it's happened. If you had have been here, in fact, Mary is so upset, she doesn't even come out of the house at first. There is resentment. There is resentment in their hearts. But do you notice in the chapter? He still comes anyway. He still welcomes them anyway. He goes out to the tomb with them. He weeps with them. He stands there and weeps with them. And that crowd said, oh, look how he's weeping. How he loved. He wasn't weeping because of Lazarus. My Lord, Lazarus was in glory. He wasn't weeping for Lazarus. He knew where Lazarus was, and he knew that he's about to bring Lazarus back. No, he's weeping for Mary, and he's weeping for Martha, and he's weeping for those that do not see him as the resurrection and the life, and he welcomes them unto himself. He said, well, preacher, what's that got to do with me? Have you not ever been a little bit resentful? When he just hadn't done things the way you think he ought to do things. When he doesn't straighten it out the way you think he ought to straighten it out. When he doesn't show up when you think he ought to show up. The truth is we get a little miffed. We get a little resentful. Oh my. But hallelujah. Our welcoming God does not cast us out. He does not cast away. Why? This is what God is like. He is a God of welcome. He's a God of welcome this morning. Oh, my. In John 12, there's Mary. There's Mary the Reverend. There's Mary the Reverend. She's going to anoint him and worship him and show reverence unto him when nobody else does. And Jesus welcomes it. Jesus welcomes her worship. In fact, He defends her worship. Now in John 12, Martha is serving. Lazarus is sitting, fellowshipping. But Mary is worshiping. Now I want you to know service and serving is important. And fellowship is as important. But neither take precedence over worship. Oh my, his welcome, his greatest welcome comes not to Martha, not to Lazarus, but to this one who worships him. Oh my, he's a welcoming God and will in no wise cast out our worship when we come and adore and worship him. Oh my, of course now everybody's not for that. Judas says, this is not a time for worship. That ointment ought to have been sold and given to the poor. It's as if though Judas said, we need to be a good neighbor. We need to be concerned for the poor. No, Judas wasn't concerned about the poor. Judas was concerned about the money. What's Jesus' response to that? He says in verse 8, I want to tell you something. You will always have the poor with you. But you'll not always have me just like this. Oh my. Everybody that says they're concerned about their neighbor is not concerned about their neighbor. And all this talk about not having church in the days of COVID and not singing and not gathering together and not worshiping and drawing nigh to God, that's Judas talk. That's exactly what Judas says. Oh my, it's worship that is eternal. It's worship that is to be the priority of our life. I want to tell you, he welcomes worship. He'll in no wise cast out. He inhabits those who praise him. He inhabits the praise of his people. Can I show you something right quick in John 13? He welcomes Judas. He welcomes Judas, the rejecter. We've looked at a woman that was rejected, but here is a man, Judas. He is the rejecter. Even Judas finds a welcome from our Lord. Because here in John 13, Jesus is going to get down and wash the stinking, filthy feet of the disciples. That includes Judas. I don't know what pair of feet it was. I don't know if it was the first, if it was the last, stuck somewhere there in the middle. But Jesus even got down and washed Judas's feet. This is what God is like. Even to those who will reject him, he shows compassion. He shows mercy. He warns. During this supper, during this washing of the feet, Jesus warns Judas again and again. In fact, I'm confident that we don't have a record of every time Jesus said something to Judas, warning him. But he sure enough says a lot in this 13th chapter. In verse 10, he says, every is clean, but is clean every whit. And you're clean, but not all. I don't know if the other 11 heard it, but you can rest assured Judas heard it. Not all. Verse 11, ye are not all clean. Who's he talking about? Rest assured, Judas knew who he was talking about. Why? This is the welcoming God. And sometimes you may sit on these very pews. Someone may be wonder who he's preaching to this morning. Wonder what God's got that sent by for. But I want to tell you, if he's speaking to you, you know he's speaking to you. Why, this is what God is like, even to the rejectors. And down here in verse 18, once again, he says, I know I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen. That the scripture may be filled. He that eateth bread with me lifted up his heel against me. And in verse 26, Jesus himself hands Judas a piece of bread. The bread of life hands a piece of bread to Judas, and Judas takes it. In fact, I'd have you note, Jesus does whisper that to John. Jesus does answer John when John said, who is it, Lord? Leaning on his bosom. Who is it, Lord? Jesus whispers this to John. Jesus doesn't whisper it to Peter, because Peter would have killed him. But Jesus whispered it to John. How is it that God God Almighty would wash the feet, would even warn, and would even extend a piece of bread to rejecter, a betrayer like Judas. This is what God is like. So hear me this morning. It doesn't matter what you've done. Are you listening? It doesn't matter what you've done. There's a welcome. There's a welcome. There's a welcome at the Lord of glory and with the Lord of glory. Oh my. John 19, there's Mary, his mother. She's the relative. She's standing at the cross. And surely as she stands there, those words of Simeon from long ago, no doubt she's heard them in her mind time and time again. She's heard them ringing in her ears. But today they're ringing with a W, ringing out her heart. Because you remember Simeon said in Luke 2:35, he said, yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul. And hanging there on the cross, the Lord looks down and says, woman, behold thy son. And looking to John, he says to John to behold his mother there. I'm reading those verses. My eyes are fogged up. He says, woman, behold thy son. And I said, well, that wasn't real welcoming to call your mama woman. Oh, it's a term of honor. It's a term of affection. But here's why it's a welcoming word. In those moments, he was not merely her son. In those moments, he was her savior. In those moments, he's doing for Mary what Mary cannot do for herself. He's taking away her sins. Oh my, family always is welcome. Family always is welcome. Oh my, he says, woman, behold thy son. And to John, he says, behold thy mother. Oh my, this is what God is like this morning. John 20, there's frustrated Mary. She's the rattled. Things ain't happening the way she thought they would happen. But with a word of welcome, he says, Mary, Mary. In John 20, there's those paralyzed disciples. I guess we could call them the restrained. They're restrained by fear. They're paralyzed by fear. The Lord shows up. The Lord shows up behind a closed door, a locked door. In fact, could have said it this way, you can rest assured they did not have the welcome mat laid out. They were fearing for the Jews, but oh my. And the Lord shows up and doesn't say, what's the matter with you? Sorry, little camp disciples. I trained you, I taught you over the last 3.5 years, and you still don't understand. No, but with a word of welcome, he says, peace be unto you. Oh my. There's doubt in Thomas. There's the rational. Everything's got to make sense. Everything's got to fit. Everything has to be proven to Thomas. So the Lord shows up again. Says, all right, Thomas. You want proof? You're welcome to it. You're welcome to it. Oh my, why would God do that to that man who a week before wasn't where he should have been? Oh my, why doesn't God rebuke him? Oh, he's a welcoming God. And then in closing in John 20, here's denying Peter. Here's this renegade. Here's this one that has boasted so loud, but has slunk down so low. But in private and in public, Jesus fixes him a meal, a fish on the shore, and says, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Why in the world would God welcome that renegade back? This is what God is like. This is what God is like. Brother Brian, let's get something to sing with in closing. These aren't all the encounters of our Lord. These aren't all the welcoming times we find in the Word of God. But I want to tell you, I've been in every one of these spots. I've been in every one of these positions. I've exhibited every one of these attitudes before. And He's welcomed me, and He's never cast me out. He's not going to do any different with you this day. So you ought to come. You ought to come to Him. We're going to stand together, sing a closing hymn. If you need to do something, get at it. What you got? 388, is that what you said? 488, as we sing, You Mind the Holy Ghost.
Just as I am without one plea, but that Thy blood wash it for me.
Oh, listen, what a God, what a God, what a welcoming God He is this day. Amen.
Just as I am, Thou wilt.
You say, you don't know what I've done, preacher. I don't need to know what you've done. I know one that will welcome. I know one that will receive. He'll take you unto Himself. You say, I don't have it all figured out, preacher. You just come anyhow. You just come anyhow. Sing it. Mind the Lord. Mind the Lord.
I come just as I am and waiting not.
Oh, listen.
To rid my soul.
The welcome route's out. The Holy Ghost is wooing. He sent this word. He stooped down and wrote in the ground that day. He's written long ago in this book, and He sent it to you one more time this morning. Because that's just what He's like. That's just what He's like. As we sing, these are praying.
Just as I am, Thou wilt receive. Welcome, pardon, clear.
Sing another verse. They're praying.
Just as I am without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me, and that Thou bidst me come to
Thee, yes.
O Lamb of God.
We began, this turned into a whole lot more messages than I anticipated. We began with His own words, so I close with His own words. Leave knowing what He's like, not from the preacher, this preacher, but leave knowing what He's like from Him Himself. Come unto me. All you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What a welcome. What a God. I'm glad I know what He's like. Seal these thoughts, these truths in our hearts for Your glory. Keep us safe as we gather together to adore You and worship You.
In your name we pray. Amen and amen.